text, our focus verse, is 2 Peter 1 and 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place under the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And then our text comes from 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 through 9. And Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat of it. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here still, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall but die. Isn't that a cool statement? Now, I'd say that's not a fear of death right there. They were already living dead. And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they rose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came into the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again, entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. Amen. And so we're studying today about the certainty of prophecy. Amen. I guess I got a little behind there. Amen. Anybody believe there's limitations in mankind? You may be seated. Let me just say, as we start, thank you for being here today to our guests and our friends. And amen. Sister Dickerson's family, good to see y'all. Bless you. Amen. Good to have everybody here. Glad you've come. My brother, you are a brother from California? All righty. We're glad you're here today. Good to see you, sir. Bless you. Amen. Yeah. Found us on our website. We're welcome. We're glad you're here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, prophecy is a very certain thing. You can depend on the word of the Lord. You and I try, I believe, to be people of our word, don't we? We tell people something. We intend to do it. And we try hard. I really do. I know you do. But sometimes circumstances will void our best intentions, no matter how good our intentions are. You ever have something happen you didn't expect? I was doing a good deed yesterday. I was feeding Brother Robbie Morris's dogs. I got in there, I drove up to the house, and I went through the gate, and I drove about a quarter mile up the road to his house. I fed the dogs. I started back. I started to get out the gate. And the same key that let me in the gate would not let me out of the gate. I mean to tell you, I worked on that thing. I couldn't get out. I turned it every direction. I turned me every direction. It would not unlock. I didn't have any WD-40. And so I got my dipstick out of my truck and got the oil and dipped it down in there. And got that going, and I did everything imaginable. But you know what? It would not unlock. So I left my pickup and called my wife to the rescue, and she come pick me up. And I called Brother Robbie and said, hey, is there another key to this thing? Amen. It just so happened that his nephew had come down, had a key that actually fit. And you ever had a key made that didn't work? That's what happened. It had it made, but it just, you know, it was supposed to fit, but it did. It unlocked it one time, but only one time. And so sometimes we have best of intentions. Brother Bacon, I was going to be there early, but I had a problem. Amen. So this is life, isn't it? We have best intentions. But, you know, God doesn't. He's not ruled by circumstances. When God says something, nothing's going to come up that's going to keep him from fulfilling his word. Because circumstances do not dictate to God. He controls and makes circumstances. So there's nothing that can keep God from keeping his word. We have difficulties with that, even with the very best of intentions. But that doesn't happen to the Lord. That's why we can talk about the certainty of prophecy. Our story today, let me give you a little background. There were the Israelites and the Syrians. You know they're still having trouble over there? Isn't that amazing? Here we are, like nearly 3,000 years later than this story, and we're still having trouble over there. But they were having trouble back then. There was a king by the name of Ben-Hadad, and he was out to, he wanted Israel bad. Now Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel, was set up on a hill about 300 feet high. And it was beautiful. It had a great view every direction. You could actually see the Mediterranean Sea about 20 miles away. And it was a great defensive structure. It was hard to take the city because it was set on a hill. There was great protection there. And so it was very strategic. But Ben-Hadad really wanted that. He tried to take it several times, and he had not been successful. And one time he was trying to take it, and every time he'd make his plans, there was a spy in the camp. You know who that spy was? It was God. You can't hide from God. And so the Lord would listen to what Ben-Hadad said, and he'll tell Elijah, the prophet, over in Israel. And so by the time Ben-Hadad got there, they were ready for him, because the prophet would advise the king. Isn't that amazing? So you know what? Ben-Hadad, he got smart, and he said, all right. He said, we'll just go get Elijah then. And so he sends a delegation after Elijah, and that's a beautiful story. The Bible, they got up one morning in Dothan, his city. He looked outside, and the servant Gehazi was there, and he saw all these soldiers. I mean, the whole city was surrounded with the army of Ben-Hadad. And he said, what are we going to do? And Elijah said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And he looked around, and he said, huh? And Elijah said, open his eyes. And he looked up, and suddenly he saw that the heavens were filled with horses and chariots, angelic beings all around that had surrounded the armies of Ben-Hadad. And then he understood. I want you to know something today, folks, that there was an invisible army of God that is out to protect his children. Amen. You may not always see, but God has a way of protecting and providing for his children. And so, of course, when the servant saw that, he said, oh, yeah, cool. Glad I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. God sent blindness, smote the entire Syrian army with blindness. Elisha was very kind to them. He led them to the city of Samaria. And he kept them, anybody from harming them. God opened their eyes, and then he sent them home. Amen. And so Ben-Hadad's plan didn't work out that time. But in the story that we have today, Israel had continually displeased the Lord. They just kept on. He sent prophets. He sent warnings. And they just kept on doing wrong. And they would not turn. And the Bible said that whom the Lord loves, he chastens, or he corrects. Now, if you're getting away with a bunch of stuff, it might tell you something. Amen. But God corrects his children. My mom and dad understood that real well. And so Israel got in trouble. And so God used Syria to correct Israel. And so that's where we are today. Syria had besieged the city. They had built earthen battlements around the city. And what they did, of course, you understand how this works, because no food can go in. They cannot replenish their food supply. They cut off their water supply. They cut off everything. Nothing was going into the city. And so when they ate what there was to eat, there was no more. And so the people were desperate. They were literally starving to death. Let me illustrate how bad it got here in just a moment. But because of that there was a horrible famine that came in the city of Samaria. And there was this plea that went forth. You see, the Assyrians had come against the city, and they were starving literally to death. This is so sad. The Bible said that one day the king was walking around on the wall up there, and this woman came to him and asked for help, asked for justice. And the king said, "Don't you understand?" He said, "Everybody in the city's starving." Now listen to this story. This is a sad story. I don't think you'll ever hear a sadder story in all of your life. Listen to this. The mother, this woman said, they made this pact, her and this other woman, other mother of all things, on Mother's Day. You get this story. The woman promised me that if I would boil my son, that we would eat him today. And she would boil her son tomorrow. But she went back on a word and she hid him. And that's what the woman said. I mean, these are desperate people. There's also mean mamas. That's a tragic story, isn't it? But that really illustrates. And that got old King Joram. It woke him up. He said, "Man, things are worse than I thought." It really woke him up to how sad things were. But you know, even in the middle of all of that, the people did not turn, they did not repent, they didn't ask God for help. You know what they did? This is kind of interesting. It's a wrong response. But what they did was, they blamed the preacher. They said, "Elijah, prophet of God, it's your fault. All this has happened to us." Amen. So they blamed Elisha for it. The same man that had delivered them time and again and helped them time and again. But instead they blamed him. And matter of fact, the king got so mad, he said, "I'm going to have his head removed today." So he sent his army out to get Elisha. And, of course, Elisha was warned of the Lord. It pays to be close to God. Amen. He has a way of letting you know things. Anybody ever had that happen before? You ever get a little knowledge that something's coming up and you get prepared? Amen. And that's good. I've had that happen. And I've told you about some of those times. It's very important that we live close to the Lord, and He can prepare us for things that are coming. And I think in these days, especially on Wednesday nights, we're doing a study of the Revelation. And I think it's vitally important, folks. There's some things coming on this world, and it's coming fast. But we've got some instruction here. We got a heads up in here. If we'll listen to that and heed that, it's going to help us a whole lot concerning these end time matters that are coming upon the world. Anyway, so he sends the army out after Elijah, or Elisha, and he gets the message they're coming. So he says, "Bar the door." He said, "The king sent some people off. They come to cut off my head." Amen. So the army arrives, and they start accusing him and telling him these horrible things and blaming him for all that's going on. And Elisha then, in the spirit of prophecy, gives a prophecy forth. He said, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time, he said, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. In other words, he said, the drought is getting ready to break, and tomorrow, 24 hours from now. Now, here's how bad it was. The Bible said, there was a doubter there by the king. Didn't believe what he said. And this is kind of hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, that God could turn something around that quick. How in the world are they going to get enough supplies for a huge city that the prices would drop that drastically in one day? How is that possible? Well, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God already knew what he was going to do. Amen. And so this doubter said, even if the Lord opens the floodgates of heaven, that and he said, everyone in Samaria knows that only yesterday, he said, and this is interesting, a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver. A donkey's head. There's not much meat on a donkey's head. 80 pieces of silver. And he said, and a fourth part of dove's dung, that's pretty desperate, was selling for 5 pieces of silver. That's pretty desperate, isn't it? And the prophet said in 24 hours, he said, you can buy the finest flour, and you can buy it for one shekel. And he said, barley, which is an inferior grain, he said, you can buy 2 parts of that for a shekel. And they didn't believe it. But God already had everything in the works, didn't he? When the Lord says something, he means it. So his word is going to come true because he knows how to make it come to pass. And that he did. And God used some really unique people to bring this to pass. Let me just tell you something today. There are no unimportant people. Everybody matters. Sometimes, you know, the devil gets so... You know, the devil loves a pity party. He never misses one. If you'll throw a pity party, he'll come every time. But God hates pity parties. You ever had one? Don't raise your hand. But have you ever had one? Amen. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Think I'll eat some worms. Amen. That big old pity party. The devil loves pity parties. He always comes when you have one. And but God doesn't, he's not dependent on us to fulfill his word. And everybody's important. So the devil jumps on you and starts telling you, you're not anybody, you're not important. You remind him, I am. Like the little boy said, I love that little cartoon I saw many years ago, never forgot it. Little boy, he said, I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. And that's true. So you are important. And God uses the most unlikely persons and the most unlikely things to get things done. God had used Elijah many times in the scripture. You remember, perhaps you might remember the story. There was this woman that her sons were getting ready to be sold into slavery. Now, I know that was a different day back then. That don't happen in the United States of America, but it did happen back there. I mean, she had debts she couldn't pay, and so they were going to take her sons, sell them into slavery, and then they would take the funds and pay her debts. That's tough, isn't it? But that's what was happening. Well, Elijah told her to go home and pour out oil. And so she started pouring this oil into a pot. That's all she had. And when that pot got full, that oil was still poured in that little bottle. And they got another pot. And the oil just kept on pouring. They went and got another pot. And it just kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring out of that little bottle. It just kept pouring out. That's a miracle, isn't it? Yes, it was. And when they didn't have any more vessels to fill up, I mean, every pot they could borrow, every pot they could find was full. Then the prophet said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. What a miracle. What a miracle. And indeed it was. And then there was the miracle we said about last week. where Naaman the Syrian, you know, the same bunch that's attacking Israel right now, there was their captain, Naaman, was leprous. And he came to Israel looking to be healed. And Elijah just sent the word, said, go dip 7 times in Jordan and you'll be healed. And that's exactly what happened. Just like he said, it came to pass. Another time, the sons of the prophets were building a Bible school. And they were expanding. And in an expansion program, this guy was chopping wood with a borrowed axe. The head of the axe fell off, rent in the river. It was lost, and he was all shook up because it was borrowed. And, you know, he couldn't get to the head. And so the prophet told him to relax, and he took a branch and threw it in the water. And I know this is hard to believe, but the Bible says it, so I believe it. It said, and the axe head swam. That metal came up to the top. Amen. That's a miracle. God specializes in miracles. And so he told the man, young man, he said, you reach out there and get it. He did. So many miracles happened. Here's what, you remember the story of Elisha? This is what was interesting. Elijah was the first prophet. They're hard to keep apart sometimes, Elijah and Elisha. You get to preaching about both of them at the same time, and it's really interesting. Anyway, Elijah was the predecessor of Elisha. And then Elijah told Elisha, he said, if you'll see me when I depart, he said, I'll give you whatever you ask. And he said, what do you want? He said, I want twice as much of what you got. I want a double portion of your anointing. Amen. He said, you can have it if you see me depart. And man, he stuck on him like white on rice. I mean, he never let him out of his sight. Amen. He did not let him leave. He tried to dissuade him. He stayed right with him. And whenever Elijah got ready to go, the Bible said that a whirlwind caught him up in heaven, and there was a chariot of fire caught him. The Lord took him away. And as soon as Elisha got up, he went over there and grabbed his old mantle that was laying on the ground. Walked over to the Jordan River. He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He smote the waters and boom, they split wide open. He walked across on dry ground. He said, that's pretty cool stuff. The interesting thing is, the ministry of Elisha had exactly double the miracles of the ministry of Elijah. When Elisha died, there was one miracle that was missing. He wasn't quite there. And it looked like it was not going to happen. But they buried Elisha. And one day, there was an army coming after some fellas and that died, and they didn't have time to bury him. So they threw him down in the grave where Elisha was. And when the dead body of their friend touched the old cold bones of Elisha, he resurrected. And the man got up, healed and whole. Amen, come out of the grave. Now that's quite a miracle, isn't it? Amen. There's power in them bones. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so God honored greatly the ministry of Elisha. But God also uses people that we would not even imagine that he could use. The Bible said that there were four lepers. Four leprous outcasts. Now, you have to understand, I suppose the closest thing to leprosy in our day as far as stigma is concerned perhaps would be AIDS. You know, people have AIDS. People are scared of people with AIDS. I'm scared of people. Amen. It just, you know, it's because of contagious disease. We don't know enough about it. It scares people. It's fatal. It's a scary thing. And lepers in Bible times is like that. If you had leprosy, you literally were cast out. You had to leave your home. You had to leave your family. The only people you could live with were other lepers. So there were these four lepers outside the city of Samaria. Four lepers. And I love these guys' attitude. They inspire me. Amen. Here's these. I mean, they don't have much to look forward to. Leprosy is a loathsome disease, and it's a deadly disease. It's always fatal for them. And so in those times, there were absolutely no treatments and no way to get better. And so they were in a bad shape. So here's what the Bible said. One of them said, he said, you know, we're stuck here in this impossible situation. He said, if we get up and we try to go into the city of Samaria, back to our homes, our families, he said, they won't have it. They'll cast us out. Besides that, they're starving in there. They don't have anything. He said, so let's do this. One of the fellows, he said, let's just get up, and those Syrians out there, let's just go over there and see if we might find favor with them. Who knows? He said, the worst thing they can do is kill us, and we're dying already. I like that. He's what he's saying. He said, shall we sit here and die or get up and try? I can't answer that for you, but as for me, I'm not going to sit here and die. I'm going to get up and try. Amen. If God be for us, who can be against us? What they did not realize is that they were instruments of God. They were instrumental in completing a miracle that God already had in mind. As those four lepers made their way to the Syrian camp, it was like God greatly magnified and multiplied the sound of their footsteps. And over in the camp of the Syrians, when those men started walking, they heard horses coming. They heard chariots coming. They heard a great host of soldiers coming. And Ben-Hadad, the king, he said, oh no. He said, Israel has hired the Hivites and the Egyptians against us. Amen. And so they're coming. We better get out of here. Isn't that amazing? And they just went crazy. And they jumped up and they started running and fleeing. Amen. So by the time these lepers got there, all the soldiers were gone. Ah. Isn't that amazing? I remember a story I read about Vietnam. There were some soldiers that were trapped, a small group. They were surrounded by Viet Cong, and there was nothing they could do. They were out of ammunition, and they didn't want to be captured. So they agreed. They said, we'd rather be shot than captured. So they said, this is what we're going to do. We're just going to stand up, and we're just going to laugh and get just as crazy as we can. And we're going to die laughing. And that's what they did. They stood up. They were laughing their heads off, just acting crazy. It scared those enemy soldiers so bad. They turned around and ran. I mean, they got out of there. These guys are crazy. It worked for David, didn't it? You remember that? I don't know what in the world was in David's head. He killed Goliath, who was from Gath. And then he went to Gath running from Saul. He found favor for a while, and after a while he ran out of favor, and they turned the king of Gath against David. And when they came to get him, David fell down on the ground and started slobbering and acting like he was going nuts and screaming and writhing on the ground and carrying on. And the king got all scared, and he said, why have you brought this madman to me? Get him out of here. They threw him out of the city. That's exactly what he was waiting for. Amen. God uses some unusual things, doesn't he? Amen. And so God used these lepers, and they come into an inheritance. You talk about good news. They were starving. And all of a sudden, there's more food than they can possibly eat. It's cooking on the fire when they get there. I mean, those guys literally left their food cooking. And they ran. I mean, they had a hot meal prepared for them when they got there. These guys hadn't eaten in who knows when. And the last time they ate was who knows what. And they come in, there's this great food on the fire. And man, they just sat down, they stuffed themselves with food, and they finally get full, and they look up, and there's a tent, and they go inside, and it's got all kinds of stuff in it. I mean, it's got silver, it's got gold, it's got nice clothes, and they think, man. And they run to the next tent, and it's just like the last tent, and they are having the time of their lives, man. I mean, everywhere they turn, it's just good. Easy street. And they're having the time of their life. They're going from one tent to the other tent, and just everything is good. I mean, they're finding stuff left and right. And then all of a sudden it dawns on them. Well, we got it good. But our families, our friends, our countrymen are dying in Samaria. We're not doing good if we don't go tell them about this. And so, with that, they did what they said they were going to do. You and I have some good news, do we not? Amen. You know what the gospel is? Who knows what the gospel is? Good news. Evangelio. Good news. That's what the word gospel means. It means good news. We should tell others, do good to others, forgive others, and love others. You want to live a good life? Do you want to live a life of peace? Do you want to have joy in your life? These are vital and key things. If you tell others about the good news, what's happened to you? Amen. You know what? Everybody say good news. You don't have to preach people into hell every time you see them. That's not good news. Tell them the good news. I believe hell's real. Yes, I do. Amen. I believe some people are going there, but I want to tell people first. I want to tell them the good news. Once I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Before anything, tell people the good news. Amen. And so we tell others and we do good to others. Amen. You know, it's okay for Pentecostals to be Christians. Brother Chris, that's an odd statement. Well, it is, but your religion's not going to save you. Your church name's not going to save you. Amen. You've got to be a Christian regardless of what title you wear. Amen. It doesn't matter how much you talk in tongues, you still got to live like a Christian. Amen. It doesn't matter how many gifts of the Spirit you're used in, you still need to act like a Christian. You need to live like a Christian. You need to do good to others. Amen. I'm not going to, please don't raise your hand. But have you ever met anybody mean in the church? I've met some mean people in church. That ought not to be, but it is. Well, you shouldn't say things like that. Why not? Amen. I want folks to know what they're getting into. I promise you, if you get in the church, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Somebody's going to do you wrong. Woo, Brother Grissom, you're doing good up there, man. You're telling us the truth around here now. Amen. Yeah. This is not a place of perfect people. Amen. We all have our own problems around here. We're not perfect. Amen. But we are trying. Amen. When we do have a cure, praise God. We're not perfect, but our God is. Amen. And so, yeah, you're going to have problems in church. Everybody has. It don't matter what church you go to, you're going to have problems. There's not a perfect church on the planet. If there is, don't you go there. You'll mess it up. No such thing. Do good to others. Forgive others. The greatest gift you can give yourself is to forgive other people. Why is it that we want to hold on to an old grudge? Grudges feel bad, don't they? I'm going to keep my head down when I say this, but have you ever had an argument with your wife? Don't raise your hand now. Or your husband? Amen. And you're sitting over on this side of the car about to push the door open. They're sitting over on that side about to push the door open. Amen. You get home, you get out, and the dog runs out, and you swing at him, kick at him. He runs and tucks tail. open the door, go inside. Hey, man, I mean, it's chilly. It's cold. Hey, man, don't say a word to one another. Finally, it's time to go to bed. You're about to fall on the floor on one side. She's hugging the cover and about to fall on the floor on the other side. And both of you don't sleep all night. You get up the next morning grumpy. Now, don't ask me how I know anything about that. But I've heard stories. All of that can be solved with forgiveness. Amen. Just forgive. Get rid of those old ugly feelings. Amen. Have peace. Isn't that great? Forgiveness. And then love others. Now, the reason we do that is for the sake of others. Amen. If you don't need anybody, understand somebody needs you. We do it for Christ's sake. Because we're Christians. And if we're Christians, we're supposed to act like Jesus. Right? We're supposed to live like Jesus. That's what we're saying. When we say, I'm a Christian, we take the high road. We understand that's not always easy. We understand it's not going to be easy, but we do it because of His sake. And then, of course, we do it for our own sake. Amen. That's just a good way to live right there. Amen. That's just the right way to do things. Amen. And so these men said, we got to go, we got to tell Samaria about what the good fortune that we have found here. I mean, we are experiencing great things, and we just need to tell other people. Amen. 1 John chapter 2 and 6 said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. In other words, we walk like Jesus walked. Isn't that right? And that's our job. Now, I know sometimes we're real good at saying I'm not perfect, but let's try to be. Hello? I said, let's try to be. There's only one perfect man, that was Jesus. I understand that. But if you say you're a Christian, you try to act like him. You try to talk like him. Amen. It's a tall order. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Amen. But we don't want to just use a bunch of excuses. Let's do our best to walk the walk as we talk the talk. Amen. That's what we're aiming for, right? Amen. And then the next verse, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men do should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, this is what we call the golden rule. We say it this way, do unto others as you'd have others do unto you. That is the golden rule. It's based on Matthew 7 and 12. And so the way you want people to treat you, that's how you treat people. The things you say to and about others, that's the way you want them to talk about you. And so this is a good rule for life, isn't it? And the Bible said that the law and the prophets hinge on that one rule. Jesus further said in Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, a lawyer had asked Jesus what was the greatest of all the commandments. And this is what he said. But he didn't stop there. He said, and then he said, he didn't ask for the second, but he gave it to him anyway. I'm glad he did. He said, the second is like the first, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none of the commandment greater than these. Now, let's get this together. You want to have joy? Let's spell it. J-O-Y. Jesus, others, you. That's it. That's joy. Jesus, others, you. Amen. Let me tell you something. It's okay to love yourself. Because Jesus said I'm supposed to love others as I love myself. So if I don't love myself, I can't love others. You're supposed to love yourself. Isn't that right? If I despise me, I'll despise others. Amen. You're God's creation. You're God's child. You've been redeemed. Amen. What did Jesus say to Peter? He said, what I've called common, he said, what I have cleansed, let nobody call common or unclean. Amen. Don't you let the devil lie to you and tell you're nothing and you're nobody. You're a child of God. Learn to love yourself properly. And then you can and you will love others. And so that's an important rule in life. Amen. And so we are to tell. That's a great part of our job, great part of our ministry, is to let others know. Amen. And so the great fear of these men, they said, we're not doing right. We're not doing right. And they said, if we don't tell somebody, we're not doing right. And you and I know something today. We know that the world is in darkness. How many believe that today? It's dark on the outside. When you came to Jesus Christ, you came because somebody told you it would be better. I want to ask you a real personal question. Is it better? Honestly, is it better? I can't answer for you, but I can answer for me. I found it to be much better. Oh, I still have flat tires on my car. I still get locked by the gate and can't get out. Hey, I still have bills due that I can't pay every now and then and wonder where the money's going to come from. I still have months left over at the end of the paycheck sometimes. Yeah, well, I got some of that. You know, I have all the problems everybody else has. We've all got that. I've got my feelings hurt a time or two or three or 10,000. Amen. We've got our problems, don't we? But you know what? I had problems before I served the Lord. Matter of fact, same stuff happened to me now, happened to me then. I just feel better about it now. I know that, well, it's just life. Amen. If I drop a jar of pickles in the store, I don't blame the devil for that. It's me. I'm clumsy. Amen. Devil didn't do that. I did. Amen. That's life. If you're around a bunch of folks got the cold and you're susceptible, you're going to get the cold. Yeah, you're going to get it. And you can take, Mark Twain's advice. He said, if you get a cold, he said, if you'll take medicine, he said, you'll get rid of it in 7 days. He said, if you don't take medicine, it'll take a whole week. So it really don't make much difference. But you're going to get stuff. Amen. You go to the grocery store and you put your hands on that grocery cart and you're pushing it around and you're rubbing your nose and your eyes. Guess what? The guy, you know who had that before you. Amen. It's just life. We're going to get stuff. We have problems in life. Doesn't mean God's mad at you. Doesn't mean the devil's beating up on you. Just lie. Things are going to happen. Amen. If you don't put oil in your car, I promise you, your engine's going to burn up. You're going to burn it up. If it overheats and you keep driving it, you're going to get it too hot, it's going to burn up. That's life. God might be merciful to you sometimes, but He's not going to guard you in your ignorance every day. Once you know, you better do something about it. Right? That's right. So, yeah, we have problems. It's like everybody else got problems. But I have peace I didn't have before. I have joy that I didn't have before. Amen. I know what's right, and I have a desire to do what's right now. Before, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. It didn't matter. Now I want to do what is right. And that's great, isn't it? Amen. So, yes, we made some good progress here, folks. Amen. And we're not doing right if we're not telling somebody else about it. Amen. The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. So if God has given you a lot, you owe others. Amen. That's a part of us. And then our job is to go and tell. This is pretty neat the first time I saw it, and it's still neat. What's the first two letters of gospel? Right? G-O. What does that spell? Go. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Amen. Go was the first two letters of the gospel. Go. As a matter of fact, when Jesus resurrected, you remember that story, and the disciples came and found the stone rolled away, and what did the angels say? They gave an invitation first. They said, "Come and see." And then they said, "He's not here, he's risen." So he gave them a message. And then he gave them a mission. He said, "Come and see." And then he said, "Go and tell." Come and see and go and tell. Amen. That's still the message of the church today. You want to know what the Lord has done? Come and see. And then after you've seen, go and tell. So that's the responsibility. That's the job. That's the mission of the church, is to come and see what the Lord has done, and then to go and tell. The Apostle Paul gave us this message. Paul surely was a Pentecostal preacher, because he says finally here, and he keeps on preaching. You know, the little boy went to the church with his friend. His friend was another denomination. He went, and the little boy, they did things differently, and he kept explaining, well, you know, they do this because, and that because, and that because. The next Sunday, it was time for his friend to go with the little Pentecostal boy, and he's kind of the same. He comes, and he watches the pastor do things, and he keeps asking questions, and finally the pastor takes his watch off and sits it down in the pulpit, and he said, "What does that mean?" The little boy said, "Don't mean a thing." He's going to preach till he gets through anyway, regardless of what that watch says. And so that's just kind of the way it goes. But Paul says, "Finally, brethren, listen to his prayer request. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." So his prayer is, he said, now Paul was being persecuted. He was being beaten up. He went through all kinds of horrific persecutions. And he says, he said, he didn't ask him to pray for deliverance from all that. He said, "What I do want you to pray for is that when we preach, there'll be no hindrance. That the word of the Lord will have free course." And he said that the Lord will be glorified. In other words, he's saying, "I'm not asking you to pray for me, but I'm asking you to pray for my message. Because it's not Paul that saves anybody. It's the message that saves. It's not the preacher that's the great and important thing. It's the message of the preacher." Amen. The preacher's just a man, but the message is the word of God. So he said, "You pray that the word of the Lord will have effect." And just as those four lepers, I mean, God brought deliverance, didn't he? You know what's interesting? When the news came to the king that the word of these four lepers, who's going to believe the word of lepers anyway, right? But when you're desperate, and these people were desperate, they brought the message to the king, and the king said, "Oh," he said, "it's a trick." He said, "That's just all that is the Syrians sent those guys over here. We're going to go out that side of the city and they're going to attack us." And somebody that was real hungry said, "King, couldn't we at least check it out?" He said, "All right." So he sent a little delegation down there. And you know, when they got there, they found out that what the leper said was true. And they came back hollering, "Hey, it's just like they said. The Syrians are gone. Men, there's food on the fire. There are tents with gold and silver. There's horses and donkeys for the taking. My, my, my. We never saw anything like this." So the king told his right-hand man, remember the one that said, "That couldn't happen. There's no way. That's not possible." He said, "You go in there and stand by the gate and keep order." Well, you don't keep order when people are starving to death and they hear there's food. Remember what the prophet said? He said, "You're going to see it, but you're not going to eat it." And the reason he didn't eat it is because they knocked him down and trampled him to death on their way to get the promise. I don't advocate trampling anybody. Amen. Because there's plenty for all. You take your time. It'll be there when you get there. Amen. But hey, we got good news. And we need to, like they, share and tell what God has done and all that he's done for us. Let's stand together today. God bless you. Thank you for being here on this Mother's Day. We're going to be honoring moms here today, and they are so very important to all of us. Let's ask the Lord's blessing here, shall we? Jesus Christ, there's nobody as great as you. You're wise and you're wonderful and you're perfect and you're pure. And you are our great example. And you are the source of all of our goodness. Everything that we need, we derive from you. We can safely trust and you will greatly supply. We ask you today, God, to bless this service as we continue to receive the worship that we offer, as we sing with sincerity and give you our perfect praise. And everything that we do, let it be done for the honor and the glory of your name. Bless this service and all of your people today, we pray. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around and give somebody a handshake and a smile. Amen. Give greetings. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord.
Well, I love Jesus, for he's my Savior. When storms are raging, he's my shepherd. And where he leads me, I will follow. I love Jesus, and he loves me. Well, I love Jesus, for he's my Savior. When storms are raging, he's my shepherd. When storms are raging, he's my shelter. Where he leads me, I will follow. I love Jesus, and he loves me. Oh, I love the Lord, and I won't take him back. I love the Lord, and I won't take him back. I love the Lord, and I won't take him back. He has been so good to me. Oh, I love the Lord, and I won't take him back. Oh, I love the Lord, and I won't take him back. I love the Lord, and I won't take him back. He has been so good to me. He has been so good. Wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. Oh, bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. There's no other name I know. No other name I know. No other name I know.
Hallelujah. Let's lift the Lord's name up today. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you, God. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We have came here today to honor our moms. But the main reason that we are here is to honor Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. No matter what happens in your life, God will never leave you. He'll always be there. Sometimes our mom are on the scene, and sometimes they pass away. They're no longer with us. But God said that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Well, here's God on the platform. He's God back at the door. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over this floor. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. And Jesus is His name. Well, He's God on the platform. He's God back at the door. He's God in the amen corner. He's God all over. Jesus is His name. Oh, and He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. He's God when up in heaven. He's God down in my soul. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. And Jesus is His name. And He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. God way up in heaven. He's God down in my soul. I know God is God. And God don't ever change. I know God is God. And Jesus is His name. And He's God in the Father. He's God in the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. I know God is God. And God don't. Jesus is His name. And He's God in the Father. He's God in the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. And Jesus is His name. And He's God when the lightning flashes. He's God when the thunder rolls. He's God way up in heaven. He's God down in my soul. I know God is God. God don't ever change. I know God is God. And Jesus is His name. Well, He's God in the Father. He's God in the Son. He's God in the Holy Ghost. And all these three are one. I know God is God. And God don't ever change. God is God, and Jesus is His name. Jesus is His name.
If you will, stand with me while we go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Martin, if you have the prayer list ready, let's go ahead and take these needs before the Lord this morning. Are there any special needs in the house that didn't get stuck on the list this morning? Amen. Brother Kurt. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.